Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. And you can find this on page 1083 of your Bibles. So that's John 15, 1 to 17, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As the sermon about prayer, shall we begin by doing just that? Lord Jesus, you tell us in these verses that without you we can do nothing. So please help me as I speak, help us all as we listen and sit under your word now and hear what you have to say to us. To do that not in our own strength, but resting and trusting in your strength at work in us. Amen. Just to lay out where we're going to be going this afternoon, we are going to see two reasons to pray. And the two reasons that we are to pray is firstly because of who we are. And secondly, we pray because it makes a difference. We pray because of who we are and because it makes a difference. So starting off with that first one, we pray because of who we are. And who we are, as we kind of see laid out in this passage, is that we are branches on a vine. I guess this is particularly verse 5. We are branches on a vine. Now, I don't want to get overly technical with you as we start here, okay? But picture a tree. Trees have different parts to them. There's the main bit. You might call it the trunk. You could call it the tree itself. And then coming off of the trunk, there are these other bits that go kind of generally go sideways. They are branches, all right? I hope you're with me. Now, if you're talking about a fruit tree in particular, the fruit grows at the end of the branch. It doesn't grow on the main bit. And this is the picture that Jesus is painting for us. He says he is the main bit of this vine. We are the branches. His followers, we are the branches. Now, again, I don't want to kind of blind you with science here, but branches on their own are pretty useless. You see, if you take a branch on a fruit tree and you just hack it off, don't expect it to grow much fruit on the end of it, because by itself, it can do nothing. By itself, a branch is useless. It will just wither and die. And just to be a little bit more serious, look, you and me, Jesus says here, we are branches. And that we need him, we need Jesus, the vine. And if we're not stuck to him, if we're not attached to him, well, we're useless. Just like a branch off a fruit tree that's been cut off, it's not going to produce any fruit, it is useless. For believers in Christ, if we cut ourselves off from the Lord Jesus, we too are useless. You know, verse 5, Jesus doesn't pull any punches, does he? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. You see, without him, you and I, we are branches fit for only one thing. In verse 6, we are fit for the fire. And that's humbling, and it's tragic. Of course it is. We don't like to think that we are useless. We don't like to think that we can't do anything spiritually good by ourselves, but it's the truth. And the response that we must have as we think about that idea that we are branches on a vine, we are just the branches, it must be that we're seeking day by day by day to make sure we are sticking with Jesus. That we're trying to rely on him, like a branch relies on the plant. And the way that we show that is by praying. We remember that he is the plant, we're just branches. And so trying to do spiritual stuff by ourselves, well, it just won't work. It makes no sense. Listen to him in verse 5 again. Without me, you can do nothing. And actually, the implications of that, they're huge. Do you know, it means kind of, if you are struggling right now with some kind of ongoing sin in your life, and you keep kind of finding yourself messing up again and again and again, or perhaps it's not something kind of persistent, perhaps it's just a one-time thing where you've really, you feel like you've messed up, please don't do that ridiculous thing that we so often do, where we kind of think, oh, right, now I've got to sort myself out. You don't need to sort yourself out, actually, because you can't actually sort yourself out. You are just a branch. The place where all the power is in Jesus. He is the vine. And actually, this is the glorious news of Christianity, isn't it? This is what makes Christianity different from every other religion. It is not a story of God looking down at humanity and saying, come on, sort yourself out. It is the incredible good news that God says, I have come. I am going to sort you out. And it has to be that way because of that relationship, because of who we are, because we are just branches, and without him, we can do nothing. And so when we mess up, or if you're sat there this afternoon and you're just feeling weighed down with like the burdens of life and things are just really, really hard, I encourage you, pray. Pray. Because without him, without the Lord Jesus, you can do nothing. You need him like a branch needs the vine. And so the only response is to be praying, just because of who we are. And actually, it is much, much broader than kind of sin and brokenness. It's everything. You know, from standing up speaking here to you guys at the front of church, to some of you kind of lead children's and youth groups during the rest of the week, or when we kind of sit down to understand the Bible and read it by ourselves, or when we try and respond in a godly way to temptation, or how we react when we get bad news in life, or the way in which we interact with that colleague who is just utterly frustrating. In everything, the only way in which we're going to make any progress is as we recognize that we are branches on a vine. And we need him. Without him, we can do nothing. You see, the great news is that in every single area of life, help is on offer. You and I, we need that help. Remember, we are branches. Jesus is the vine. We rely on him. And the way we do that, the way we show that reliance, is by praying. That's the first thing about who we are. We are branches on a vine. But actually, slightly more than that, we are branches on the vine. See, look at verse 1 again. You see, Jesus doesn't say, I am a vine. Actually, he says, I am the true vine. And that's because he's not kind of picked this image of kind of grapes and vines just at kind of at random. Actually, he's got a lot of Old Testament pedigree. It's an Old Testament picture. And it's a picture of God's people, Israel. Again and again, God talks about his people as like a grape plant, a vine. And it's really tragic, actually. Kind of, if you want to look it up later, look at somewhere like Isaiah 5. And God talks about this choice vineyard that he's created, how he chooses a fertile hill, clears it of all stones, plants a wall around it to protect the plants from wild animals, and then he plants choice vines there. And yet when he goes to see the fruit, well, there's nothing. Isaiah 5 is a story of this nation, Israel, and their sad, sad failure. But when Jesus stands there before his disciples and he says, I am the true vine, well, he is claiming something enormous. He is saying, I am the very center of God's purposes. See, no longer is membership of God's people to do with ethnicity. It's nothing to do with being born an Israelite. No, because that vine has proved itself useless and fruitless. Instead, Jesus says, it is all about your connection with me, about being attached to me, remaining in me, he says. And so for us, I mean, I'd encourage you to try and get this picture in your mind. We are not just branches on a vine. We are branches on the vine. This vine, which is the very center of God's whole purposes in the entire universe. It's huge. And actually, and kind of ultimately, when we realize that we are kind of one tiny branch on this grapevine, the true vine, well, it reminds us of who we are and the role that we play and what actually our whole purpose is in life. Our purpose is to bear fruit as a part of this much, much bigger thing, as a part of this great vine. And again, the only way that we do that is by remaining in, relying on, and praying to the Lord Jesus. And I don't know, it's kind of, I'm really struggling to express this. This is one of those things that I've seen this week as I've looked at this passage, and it is staggering. Because as this true vine bears fruit, as you kind of see branches everywhere, kind of hanging heavy with this fruit that Jesus is producing in his people, kind of as his life flows into his branches, and you kind of imagine it's like imagine a giant vine, and everywhere you look, there are grapes, giant grapes just kind of falling off of it. That is God's great purpose in this world. It is to create a vine like that, to take people like you and like me and make us fruitful. But, and in one sense, this is quite a hard thing to get our heads around. It's not for our glory as we kind of become more godly, as we become more fruitful. Verse 8, it is for his glory. I mean, picture that vine again with kind of fruit everywhere you look. I mean, you wouldn't look at that vine and go, whoa, that branch just there is incredible. No, you'd look at the whole picture and you'd say, this vine is fantastic. Perhaps maybe even more so, you might say, oh, what an incredible gardener has been at work on this vine to make it so wonderfully fruitful. Friends, if you're a Christian here this afternoon, being fruitful, being a productive part of this vine, growing in godliness, that is your life's great work. Your great purpose in life is to produce godly fruit to the glory of God. But the only way to do that, the only way that we produce any fruit of lasting value, is if we stay attached to Jesus and we rely on him. And that is why, simply put, we pray. You see, and as we pray and as we see him answer those prayers and as we see the fruit of godliness in our lives, well, it's wonderful. And can I encourage you, as I look around here, there are lots of fruity branches in this room. You see, as we kind of see ourselves respond in more and more godly ways to the stresses and strains of everyday life, do you know what we don't do? We don't go, cool, look at my grapes. Look what I've produced with my own godliness and my own strength. Look at this. You don't go start waving it around at other people, do you? Because if we get this straight in our minds, if we realize that we are branches attached to the true vine, then we say, anything good about me, any fruit that I have produced, the glory doesn't go to me. I'm just a branch. The glory goes to the Lord Jesus, who I rely on, and the Father, who has pruned me to make me into this, a part, a tiny part of this wonderful thing that he is doing for his praise and glory as he transforms not just me as one individual, but as a whole church across the globe. But that is a wonderful thing. And even though we are just kind of one tiny branch in something enormous, at the same time, every single one of you who is a believer here this afternoon, you are an integral part of that grapevine. Actually, without you and the work that God is doing in that vine, the vine would not be complete, genuinely. Like, even if the fruit that kind of grows on you feels very, very small, even if it's like, you know, I guess I was a little bit more patient with the kids this week than I was the week before, even if it's small things, as little by little, God transforms you and changes you and makes you more into the person that he would have you be as you rely on him in prayer. Well, that is part of this great tapestry, this wonderful vine full of these branches, kind of heavy with fruit, which all works together to bring the Father glory. Without you and the fruit that he's working in your life, that vine would not be as glorious as it actually is. You see, when you, this week, coming going forward, when you resist temptation, when you say, no, I'm not going to watch pornography, when you decide to respond to someone who has hurt you with compassion and love rather than retaliating, actually, even when we do mess up and we come back to him in repentance, all of that, that is about something much bigger than you as an individual and your relationship with God. It is all part of this enormous, ever-growing, ever more fruitful vine, which all grows together to bring glory to the Father. Now, if you've been sat there for the last 5 minutes as I've kind of gone on about the Israel and vines and fruit, and you kind of thought, well, that all sounds a bit theological, Simon, and I don't think I completely followed you. Well, I'm sorry. It is wonderful, deep stuff. But I kind of agree with you. Kind of that talk of vines and branches, it feels a bit cold, doesn't it? It doesn't give you that warm, kind of fuzzy feeling in your heart when you go, oh, Jesus says I'm a branch. It's just not very relational, is it? But then look down in verse 9, because Jesus says something incredible. And he says, well, quite simply, that he loves his people. And then, even more astonishing, in verse 13, he calls us his friends. Do you see that there? Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. See, again and again, three times in three verses, he says, look, the people who obey my commands, particularly, I guess, that command to love one another that comes again and again in these verses, Jesus says they are his friends. And that's the third reason we pray. We pray because we are friends of God. And that is, if you don't mind me saying, that is mind-blowing. It is absolutely boggling that Jesus would draw people like you and me, everyday believers, with not a lot special about us, draws us together and he calls us friends. Do you know, in the whole Old Testament, God only had two friends. Not because he's like some loner. He only has two people that he calls friends, Moses and Abraham. And if you know much about the Old Testament, you know those guys are pretty big deal. They're the two people that Jesus says, or that God says, they're my friends. But now, those who Jesus lays his life down for, those who will obey his commands, they're called friends. And here's where it starts to actually affect our prayer life. Because we're friends, we know the master's business. Do you see that in verse 15? He says, I don't call you servants, because a servant doesn't know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I guess Jesus, in a primary sense to those apostles, but in a greater sense, kind of onwards to us through his word, the Bible, has shown us exactly what God is like. By his person, by his work, by all of his words, he has made the Father known to us. He has shown us the Master's business. He shows exactly what he's like. And because of that, well, that is what qualifies us. That's what makes us his friends. And we're going to think more about how knowing God as a friend changes our prayer life. But before we do that, can I invite you, just reflect on that truth. But that is how the Lord Jesus describes his followers, as friends. Because it's so easy, isn't it? We kind of hear it all the time at church. I mean, oh, yeah, God loves us. And it's true. But it's not one of those truths that you kind of should get used to. It's one of those truths that every time you hear it should make you go, wow. Because it's madness, isn't it, when you stop and think about it? That people like you and me, God cares for. Because we're all pretty good, aren't we, at kind of trying to put on an act and make ourselves look better than we really are. We kind of clean ourselves up. But the truth is we're deeply flawed. We all have those skeletons in the closet, don't we, that if other people knew about them, it would be horrifying. And yet he knows all of it. And still, the God of creation, he comes and he takes people like us and says, You are part of my vine. You are part of my true people. You get to know all of my business. You are my friend. And that brings us on to the last reason why we pray. We pray because actually it makes a difference. So look again at verse 7 with me. Jesus says there, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be given you. And again in verse 16 he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you see there? We pray because the Almighty God of the universe, who invented light, who spoke out galaxies, he says that when you pray to me, I'm going to say yes. When we ask him for stuff, he'll say yes. And it's not yes some of the time, is it? See that? Verse 7, ask whatever you wish. Verse 16, whatever you ask. You see, in these verses that we're looking at this afternoon, we actually hold the key to getting all of your prayers answered. And I'm not even joking when I say that. That is what we hold here. Now, if you're anything like me, you've heard that, and you're starting to pick out which colour of Aston Martin you might like. You're choosing which seats you're going to sit in on November the 2nd as you watch England gloriously win the World Cup. I mean, it would be awesome, wouldn't it? Every prayer answered immediately. I mean, I think that would be fun for about 5 minutes. Because, I mean, if we really think about it, that idea of every prayer answered in its fullness immediately, that would be terrifying, paralyzing. It would stop me from praying because, frankly, I can't always choose between tea or coffee. And handing me responsibility for the world and the outcomes of my prayers, I mean, it seems fun on the surface, but in reality, that would be terrifying, wouldn't it? Because I don't know everything. I don't see the end from the beginning. I don't know. I cannot comprehend the consequences of all my actions, of all the things I might pray for. You see, if it was simply true that everything we prayed for was answered immediately, I don't think we'd ever pray. You see, this promise that Jesus makes, this promise of answered prayers, it is wonderful and it is true, but it isn't a blank check. And that is brilliant, because we really, really do not want God to delegate his omnipotence to us. We don't want a genie who serves our every whim. We want a God who answers prayer, yes, but only if those prayers are actually going to be for the best. They say, don't they, that you need to be careful what you wish for, it might just happen. But there's a sense in which you really don't have to be careful what you pray for. Because God isn't just handing you power over the universe whenever you pray. Of course he isn't. He will only allow whatever you pray for to happen if it is genuinely for your good and his glory. You see, this is how this promise, this kind of double promise in verse 7 and 16, where Jesus says we can have every prayer answered. This is how it works. Do you see verse 7? If you remain in me and my words remain in you. On verse 16, it's prayers that we ask in Jesus' name, on his authority, kind of according to his agenda. They're the prayers that will be answered. You see, what we thought about before, kind of who we are, the fact that we are branches dependent on the vine, that the Lord Jesus calls us his friends. You see, those truths, they don't just give us a kind of a motivation to be praying. Actually, they shape what we ought to be praying for as well. Those truths about who we are, they are the key to having every prayer you ever pray from now on answered. Which sounds good, doesn't it? You see, because we are friends, Jesus has shown us what the Father's priorities are. Do you remember that's what he said? You're not servants who don't know the Master's business. You're friends who do know the Master's business. And so we pray now in the light of everything that he has already told us, in the light of everything that he has said about what he's up to in the universe. See, verse 16, that promise, it comes directly after verse 15. You see, because we are friends, because he has wonderfully invited us into this friendship and revealed the Father's will to us, because he shows us exactly what the Father is like, therefore we pray. And we pray not our will be done, but your will be done. We don't take a situation and simply ask kind of, oh, what do I think might be best in this scenario? Instead, we ask ourselves, what has God already said? What do I know that he wants? In the language of the passage, verse 7, how did Jesus' words and my relationship with him shape and change what I pray for here? I imagine many of us in this room know Joyce Pearson. She's a dear older saint at this church who comes regularly to 6:30. She's very, very unwell right now. But how do I pray for her? Well, do I pray that she gets better? I mean, of course, we can do that. But in the light of what Christ has shown us about the Father, in the light of how truly wonderful heaven is, in the light of the fact that that is a reality for people like Joyce who love the Lord Jesus, the fact that it will actually be better by far for her to go and to be with him, well, that might well start to change what I pray for her. And I guess any number of other situations, whether we pray for healing, which of course can be right, or whether we pray for the Lord to take people and to go be with him, actually in either case, we close that prayer, either explicitly by saying it, or internally by saying, actually, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And as we find ourselves able to truly say in every prayer that we pray, Father, your will. If it is your will, if it's in line with your priorities, Father, then please do this. If this will bring you the most glory, then please do it, Father. It's when we get to that place, that is when all of our prayers will truly be answered. Which I know, it raises a question, doesn't it? If my prayers are only going to be answered if God wants it to happen anyway, well, why should I pray at all? Well, that heading again, we pray because it makes a difference. Don't let this kind of thinking about God answering prayers according to his will miss the thing that Jesus says really, really clearly in both verse 7 and verse 16. He says that God does genuinely answer prayers that are according to his will. Which I know does sound a little bit contradictory, but I promise you it isn't. Let me kind of explain it like this. I believe that God sovereignly decided that every single one of us would be here in this room this afternoon. He knew that before the beginning of time, before creation was kind of established, he knew who would be stood here or sat here on the 22nd of September 2019. And yet, this afternoon, when it was time for me to leave, I put on my shoes and socks, I got in the car, and we drove down here. I didn't sit there in my armchair waiting for the Lord to fulfill his purposes and teleport me to church. Because of course God is in control of everything, but he uses everyday means. And the means that he has ordained to bring about spiritual things is prayer. Prayer is the kind of spiritual equivalent of putting on your shoes and socks and getting in the car. Yes, God has a plan, but he tells us to pray, and he does genuinely answer those prayers. And knowing that, actually, knowing that God is in control, it should make us more bold to pray. It really should free us to pray in all and every situation. We can pray safe in the knowledge that our Father is good. He is in control. And he's only going to answer our prayers if it is for our good and for his glory. You know, like I was saying, if there was a chance that my foolish prayer, from my limited human perspective, was going to be answered with no questions asked, well, that would actually be a reason not to pray in so many situations. But again, the opposite thought of that is equally and wonderfully true. Because God is in control, therefore we pray. And just because he knows and has decided what is going to happen, we still pray. He is in control of both the destination and the means by which we get there. Prayer works. It makes a difference. And the difference that answered prayer makes, it is the fruit on the vine. Again, go back one last time with me to that wonderful picture of the vine. See, this vine, it is God's people. It is itself God's will. His will is for this vine, the whole church of Jesus Christ, to flourish. The vine is what God is up to in the world. And for this vine to be fruitful, this vine is going to be fruitful. That is God's will. He has promised that in every and all situations, he is making this vine as fruitful as possible for his glory. Well, kind of think of the picture, and it's a wonderful cycle. See, we're that branch. All the power begins with Jesus, and all the resources for growth are in him. And so as we pray, we're effectively saying, please, give me the resources. Give me what I need in order to grow. And then as he answers that prayer, and as we bear fruit, all the glory ends up where it belongs with the Father. See, and as we look around and we see this amongst ourselves, as the world looks on at the church and sees the transformation that God is doing, as he takes this vine and makes it beautiful, as he makes it fruitful, it brings him all the glory he deserves. And actually, the fruit that he is talking about here, it is everything that God is doing in his church. And it all stems from prayer. See, without prayer, nothing is going to happen. And I mean that, nothing. Nothing of lasting spiritual value will happen in my life, in your life, in the life of this church, without prayer. We cannot expect to see people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus, or growing in him, or loving him more, if we're not praying. See, these rugby events we've got over the next few weeks, or Christianity Explore starting in a week or so's time, they won't be fruitful unless we pray. But again, the opposite is absolutely true as well. Because he's promised that he wants this vine to bear fruit, that that is his will. And so as we pray for his will to be done, and we pray with absolute confidence that he will answer, he will bless, he will make you and me and St. Mary's Maidenhead and his whole church across the whole globe more fruitful, because it's his will, because he's promised it. Now that won't always look like what we expect it to look like. And sometimes that process of being fruitful is going to be painful. But whatever happens, we can be absolutely confident that he is at work and it will all be for his glory. And so we pray. We pray because it makes a difference. We pray because he has promised that every time we pray according to his will, he will answer. Let me pray one more time now. Father, thank you that through the Lord Jesus, you make us friends. Thank you that we have been let in on what you are doing in this world. And as we think of this picture of the vine and the fruit you long to grow across your globe, in your church, here in Maidenhead, in us as individuals, we pray, and we pray with confidence, please be at work among us to make us more fruitful. And as you do that, would it not be in any way for our glory, but for yours? And we pray it in the only way that we can, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.